Welcome, everybody. Let's start off with some business. So as usual, we ask you to go to Facebook. You can like the Facebook page. You can share the Facebook page. You can, I don't know, comment on the Facebook page. And then head over to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
Boom. Then you can follow us there. You can tweet at us. Joe won't tweet back to you. Mike may favorite it. Someone may
I'll throw a retweet out.
There you go. You throw a retweet. That's a guaranteed one retweet. Booyah.
Oh, son.
Booyah. Maybe two.
Follow. Oh. Do a little follow back.
Oh, dang.
What's up?
Dang, that's a twofer right there.
Right.
And then, once you're done, you know, Twitter loving all over Mike, and he follows you, and you can look at all of his, you know, elbow pictures that he posts, because his left elbow looks like a testicle. A little in fact. You head over to iTunes. And you can like the iTunes there. You can subscribe. You can share. You can leave a comment or two.
What does subscribing to the podcast do?
Ooh, it gets you the episode every Friday when it comes out.
Dang, without having to do anything?
Nope. Just go over to iTunes and just be like, I want this. It's a button.
Dang.
It's in French called subscribe. It's free as shit.
Free?
Yep. Like free dollars.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. Nuts. Like Mike's left elbow. All right, let's start this motherfucker off right. Comes naturally, we are
Joe,
Mike.
Oh my god, and I'm Cody.
That
welcome.
Was not an impersonator.
No, that was not a Mike impersonator. That's why
that
it didn't sound weird.
That is actually Mike.
That is Coffee McCofferson himself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fleming McGeorge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That is
don't
well.
Cover your testicle elbow.
Oh, sorry.
That's your right elbow anyways. Your left elbow looks like a nut.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. We'll start it off. We'll make it brief so Coffee McCofferson doesn't blow up a lung all over a microphone. Mike, what you got for wrestling?
Wrestling. So, since the last time I was here, we had a big event called the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Phoenix. I did not go.
Because you a bitch.
I had a chance to go, too.
Oh, okay.
For
cool.
free.
Oh, really? Dang.
Didn't go.
For free.
Because I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
For free.
I was going to be a seat filler, dude.
Why did you fucking go, man?
Work fucked me, man.
I'm sick.
Yeah, well, right? that happened for real shortly thereafter.
Probably
and
being
I missed
at work.
A lot of time because of it.
From being at work, no less. You got sick from work, didn't you?
Probably.
Yep, see, there you go. If you would have skipped work.
How do you get to be a seat filler?
I am Twitter friends with a friend that, a person that used to work at the Phoenix Suns organization.
Okay.
So he knows a lot of people put on the events there. And so he sent me a message.
I didn't know that was
we were
thing.
In line with him at a movie.
Star Wars,
which you were not there for.
No.
So I don't know why I brought that up in front of
you. You brought that up and like I was going to know that, but I didn't.
Yep.
Because I wasn't.
I keep forgetting you don't go to premieres with us.
So. Anyway, the event.
Elimination Chamber?
John Cena recently had just won the title back. He's going into the Elimination Chamber with the championship belt. And my thinking was, he just won it back. There's no way he's not going to win. So I wasn't even that excited about Elimination Chamber. I was like, this is basically a filler pay-per-view to get us to WrestleMania. But in my eyes, the unthinkable happened. And Bray Wyatt actually ended up winning his first singles title. Mm-hmm. Beating John Cena clean, meaning no funny business, just beat him straight up 1-2-3, and then beat AJ Styles right afterwards. He was the last man standing, won the title, so he's going into WrestleMania as the champ, which is fucking nuts because I didn't ever think he would win a belt.
Nice.
Ken has his pop vinyl at the store.
Should buy it.
Your cousin is right above him. It's like it's your cousin,
yeah,
and then right below him.
And it makes me so happy right now because my two of my top like four favorite wrestlers right now are Kevin Owens and Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Owens is the champion on Raw, and Bray Wyatt is the champion on SmackDown. And I'm hoping Kevin Owens has a match against Goldberg at Fastlane this Sunday, which is Raw's last pay-per-view before Mania. So I'm hoping something happens where he gets out of there with the belt so we can go into Mania with Kevin Owens and Bray Wyatt, both as the two main champions. It would be super fucking dope. Because one of which, Kevin Owens is vastly becoming one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. And 5 years ago, there's no way Kevin Owens would even be let into the WWE. So the fact that he's this fucking close to making it to Mania with the main title is super dope. And then Bray Wyatt has been doing good work ever since he debuted on the main roster 3-4 years ago. This is the first time he's gotten that big push as the champion. There's rumors that it was supposed to happen before a couple times ago, but he got hit with like untimely injuries, like right before he was about to get the title, and then kind of
jerk his wrist.
But so that's the main thing. Bray Wyatt champion. And then of course this Sunday, Fastlane, Goldberg versus Kevin Owens for the title. And I'm hoping something happens where Kevin Owens ends up still the champion. Doesn't seem very likely. Everyone seems to think that Goldberg is going to win it and go into Mania, because his match with Lesnar is already set at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
So they might want to make that for the title. And I get that. That's a big deal. But I'll be super bummed if that happens, honestly. So I'm rooting for Kevin Owens real hard. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Joseph, you got some science laid down on these kids?
Actually, there really wasn't a whole lot that I read this week.
Horseshit. Make something up.
Make something up?
Yep.
Wasn't NASA supposed to make some big announcement today?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm.
I mean, over the weekend you had SpaceX launch from what?
I'm waiting. I'm seeing what's going on.
Sorry. From Kennedy Space Center.
Platform 39, right?
39A.
Is the famous one.
Yep. And that went off without a hitch. Awesome.
Is that one going to be one of the rockets that lands by itself, like reverse rocket, or is that just a regular one that's going to come back and just splash down somewhere?
I'm 90% sure that was one of the ones that lands by itself.
Fuck, it's so dope looking.
I can't say for sure, because it really sucked. I was watching live the launch on Saturday morning, and then they scrubbed it, which was shitty. They scrubbed it because of...
Seagull damage.
No. It was something to do with the thrusters.
Interference.
It was something to do with the thrusters for the second stage. They weren't operating correctly, so they just scrubbed.
Is that
the
you
launch.
Solid? Is that solid engine?
I don't know if that one uses a solid engine or not. The first stage probably doesn't use an actual solid engine. It probably uses either a hybrid or a
liquid. That one actually falls off, right?
Well, like that would be the section that lands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that part would land by itself.
You're probably using either a hybrid rocket, which is a solid plus a liquid, or a fully liquid rocket. That just because you want to be able to control the burn going
versus just
going down. Yeah, because a solid rocket would just go straight up and then burn out.
NASA has discovered 7 Earth-like planets orbiting a star just 40 light years away.
Oh, no, I did read that, yeah.
That was this week.
It wasn't
it was a big deal.
They discovered...
Earth 2 could be within our reach.
Okay, so...
In 40 light years.
There is a lot of stuff I read, I'll admit, there's a lot of stuff I read and a lot of stuff like that. The reason why I don't bring it up is because it's not... it's something like that. They find stuff from Kepler... that are very similar to Earth in size and distance from from the sun. They have found quite a few of them. And then there's other things that are just like so theoretical that it might not even be true, or it might not even affect anything.
Yeah, but they released the whole thing today, so you need to do your research on it and come back next week. Because there's a lot of stuff they announced today. They said.
Yeah, Joe, that's your homework for next week.
I mean, if they announced more stuff today while we were out hanging about, sure. But the stuff that I read was, it's just, it's
because they had a press conference.
It's the planets
today.
Within a habitable zone that are Earth-like.
Your habitable zone.
Ooh, thanks, buddy. That's actually a compliment.
Yeah.
You know,
people can live near me or on me.
But that's not even guaranteed. Guaranteed that they are habitable planets.
You need to do research.
Joe's a jaded science figure.
Not necessarily jaded. I just don't want to, like...
Get everybody's hopes up?
Yeah, pump up something that ends up being...
All I'm saying is there is a press conference today from NASA, so there might be more information that you haven't read about yet. And I'm too dumb to go through and know what any of it means. So next week, come back, find out where we're all going to live in 40 light years.
So as of 1:20 p.m., NASA has announced it discovered 7 Earth-sized planets, 3 of which might have water. Again, might have water. The 7 planets are 40 light years away, or 235 trillion miles. This is off of International Business Times.
A number just fucking destroyed the left side of my brain. How many?
235 trillion
Fuck.
Miles, or 40 light years. The first exoplanet was discovered in 1995. Okay. By European scientists who noticed that a planet was wobbling, indicating it was probably in a gravitational pull.
Wobbling?
Its
balance was off. Literally balance it.
They measured the radial velocity of the wavelengths of the starlight as they were changing from being pulled and stretched in orbit to confirm their suspicions. Since then, scientists have used this method to identify more exoplanets with sophisticated telescopes that can show clear images of planets and help scientists find other planets. It's unclear. Okay, so this doesn't have much more about the press conference. But, I mean, it's stuff that, you know, it's absolutely cool. But I think here it's just, here's off of NASA's website. NASA telescope reveals the largest batch of Earth-sized habitable zone planets around a single star.
Boom.
So that's what the discovery is.
All right.
So it's the largest batch.
Side note.
Of Earth-sized objects within the habitable zone.
If, in our lifetime, they have traveled to another planet, a la, like, Passengers or some shit, and
I really hope not like Passengers.
Well, in theory, what they're doing.
Right.
Because Passengers had a lot of successful trips.
Yes, it did.
Before.
Yep.
So let's say something like that happens in our lifetime. We have the opportunity to go. Do we go?
Yes.
Cody, do you go?
It sucks. There's a lot that you're leaving behind. I realize that the problems that you would encounter on the new place, because you'd be more like the settlers of the West and whatnot.
We'll say this.
If we get stuck somewhere, do we have to eat each other?
Yeah.
Like for food, not sexually?
Oh, no.
Or both?
Well.
The Donner Party is going to be at.
It's something that sure would have to cross somebody's mind, but we're assuming that everything goes perfectly.
Yeah.
And you're just in this new settlement. And I'm just saying that it's going to be less like you're in a small town and more like you're in the Old West, just because, you know, a technological Old West. You know, I would say that I could probably do it. It would suck because any type of communication between, well, by the time you even got there, anybody that you knew would be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was essentially the same idea with Passengers. They were gone. They were in stasis for 90 years before anything happened, and they still had like another 40 to go or something like that.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe they were in stasis for 40 years and had another
90 to go.
Yeah, because
her whole round trip, she'll get back and have only aged 3 years.
Yeah.
But she would have been 90 years out of, no, one more than that. It was like 180 years over.
Yeah.
Because it was like 90 and 90.
So anybody that she would have known on Earth would be dead.
Super dead.
Yeah. So anybody
she knew would be dead by the time she got there. And by the time she got back, anybody she would have known that was related to someone would maybe be dead too.
Yeah. So it would definitely suck in that aspect. Like, you'd be definitely leaving your family behind and never seeing them again.
I would definitely not take them. It's tough, though. I mean,
especially from, I mean, even our perspective, the thought that you wouldn't be getting movies or comic books or even
whatever's
books
on,
or
yeah, current stuff that you have.
Nothing current. You yeah. wouldn't be.
Well, I mean,
that even
from when you left, like.
It'd be current for what you left, and your updates would come whenever the next shuttle came, but that would be, I don't know how many deliveries they were doing in between.
Yeah, because what was his transmission time? 14 years there and
yeah.
something back, right? Because yeah. he would be still traveling it by the time the message got sent back, so it'd be farther
yeah.
out. That was what fucked up with that movie.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think comes
which
out
cost,
next week.
Cost a shit ton of money. I thought that was funny, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's less Wally and more passengers at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Wally's like, oh, hey, you know, this is like a thing we do all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't trash this planet.
Unless you had like some sort of warp speed thing where like Wally, because they did have some sort of like warp speed engine where they could fold time and space and
travel like, it was a
vast
cruise.
Distances. Yeah.
When they woke up, it was like a cruise atmosphere.
Yeah.
This scenario is definitely more passengers. You're asleep the whole time. Everyone you know is dead by the time you get to where you're going.
I'm just saying, good thing fate chose Chris Pratt. That kid knew that I fixed stuff.
Right.
One of us would be like, nah, we're dead. I'll be out the airlock in like an hour and a half. Like, I'm just going to walk outside real quick.
I would hope that I would know how to do things.
I don't know, man. That dude was pretty smart.
Oh, yeah, I know. But like, he still had to read manuals and stuff to learn how to get Jennifer Lawrence out of there. Out of her pod.
Oh, I'll get her out of her pod. Without killing her. Corpses are only good for so long. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it would depend on when we got there. I know we're first, so we're like, we have to build a ship, but like that ship was designed to like be encapsulated.
Let's say you're the second batch of people.
Oh, I don't do any work. Everything. Yeah,
no, like, no, there's still work to do, but like, everything's there though. You know, you have like a town, you have like everything's kind of established. You're helping to add on and maintain it, but you're not starting from the ground. Because in the scenario in my head, I assume all the super smart people went over there first.
It's not true. Not true. We had the discussion on the show before. The fucking Mars kids.
It still hasn't happened yet.
I know. Like, they don't want to send smart people
there. The Mars One is what you're talking
about. Yeah, they're like, we're going to send dumb people, but we'll give them the tools.
I'm saying we're far enough into it where they've made successful trips. Or not, they made successful trips. They're there. Everything's cool. The
first settlement has made it. Or at least a settlement has made it.
And that's why I say it's much more like an Old West town where you have the buildings, you have the people. It's just not like a town.
We're just filling the town
up. We have the technology. We just have to get it over there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, like, expanding is going to take a lot less time than it did in real time when we didn't have any of the...
Joe's point actually made me not want to do it, though. No new stuff.
Yeah. Because you have to realize that. It's... You're only going to...
Transmission
your entertainment. Yeah, your entertainment is going to be limited to either what you take with you or what's created there.
What if there's like a deal where they send everything every year? Like they send one trip a year.
So and that's what I was wondering.
So,
like, what's their turnaround time? Like, do they send a ship out and then a year later they send another ship out? And it's just
so by the time
arriving,
I get one, I have a year to wait till my next.
So the next till the next one comes.
The rack of bed be full of a bunch of.
Which would probably.
So
make
you have
sense.
All the media from, because you know the internet
all
has
the
everything.
Previous year, yeah.
Everything that came out in the last year is there. We'll give it to you. You have the whole year to go through it, which in Cody's case, you'll be done with it in a week.
Yeah, probably.
But you're gonna get. Like, you're not completely disconnected. It's just, you're getting it in weird chunks.
The nice thing is I wouldn't have the internet to spoil it for me because it doesn't know yet.
That's true.
My internet there, I mean.
Yeah.
Space internet doesn't know yet.
That is true.
So it's still new to me.
Yeah.
Granted, it's, you know, a year old, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
I might do it then. I could live somewhere like that, as long as I don't have to... be the one that's responsible for making it, you know, not die there.
Like you would have to have some sort of responsibility.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have to be like, hey, Cody's in charge of, like, life support for this pod. Like, No, I'm out.
No, you
choose someone else.
Fuck, I wouldn't even... Yeah,
yeah, no. Oh, you want me to watch the crops? Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll keep the space sheep in line, for sure.
Hey, space sheep.
Hey.
Get back over there.
Bah, space sheep. Get back in your fucking pen.
Cody the space shepherd.
Yeah, dude.
Space shepherd. Good.
Where's my stick?
Space stick.
It's got like those little floating rings on it because it's space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And every time you set it down, it goes. Fair
enough. Like
Jetsons.
Yeah.
Every time they touch something, it
goes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I would do it in that case. But I don't want any, like, I don't want life or death responsibilities. Even if, like, life and death means you have to have sheep to shear. I'm like, all right, well, I can keep them alive, I'm pretty sure.
I would hope so.
Yeah, like, there's
but we never know. Shit, I mean, what type of...
Space sheep might be a little
animals
crazier.
And whatnot that you run into. Like, is this an Avatar world? Ginormous fucking
nah,
cat
it's,
plant
it's
people?
Very earth.
If it was cat people, you know I'd be things. All over it.
Yeah, we all know you'd be all over it.
Wait, we can touch ponytails and have sex?
Yeah.
Give me one of them cat bodies.
Yeah.
Give me one of them cat bodies.
Cat bodies.
I'll talk to this bird pterodactyl thing with my braid.
Yeah.
By the way, same braid I had sex with this lady with. I think it's a lady. Can't tell.
Can't tell.
No genitals. Except for her hair, but like I have the same one, so like
I don't know. She talks like a girl, so she must be a girl.
Yep. Sound like a girl. Mm-hmm. Sound like a chick from that fucking movie.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean theoretically with those stipulations in fact, yeah, I guess I might. Be pretty fun.
How about you, Mike?
No, I don't think I'd go.
No wrestling there. Mike's like, nah, that's way
too
much work.
You could make wrestling there.
You could be the first wrestling star.
Could be the first.
You could be the McMahon of fucking Earth 2.
Space wrestler.
In.
Space
but you can't
wrestling.
Call it WWE. He'd sue you still.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
Yep. Call it Space WWE.
Nah, SWE. Space Wrestling Entertainment. Because everything has to have space on it.
Yep.
Because world, fuck the world. Space?
Right.
Way bigger.
Way bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker. So that was your science moment.
Yep. All right, guys, let's get into it.
Boom.
The meat and potatoes of the podcast. Here we go. Cody?
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I hope you got some meat and potatoes.
Nah, I don't really have much.
How about these potatoes?
Booyah!
Balls.
So we got the new Power Rangers trailer that hope everybody has seen by this point. Cody's been gushing over it.
There's a sword in it.
Because you finally see the Red Ranger sword.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's weapons. They have weapons.
Which, did either of you notice that it seems like his arm turns into it?
Super red.
Which is weird. Yeah. It's
super
like,
red.
Is he also the Terminator? Dun, 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 dun.
No, it's the suit that turns into it, not his body. Suit turns into it. Knife
I'm
hand.
Still not 100% sure I'm sold on the suits.
I am.
I'm not either. And
like, I don't hate them.
Right.
And I don't love them.
Right.
I'm interested to see how they look in an extended fight sequence.
And I'm going to say the reasons why I'm not totally sold on them is two reasons, twofold. One, that I already know I would get flack from, is the mouth thing. Like, I get it. The original show had that. But I still don't understand
why you'd even put them on.
Why would you even put them on it? Because it looks awkward.
Yeah.
And we saw how it looks awkward in G.I. Joe, and they fixed it in the second one. But in this one, I was.
That had other problems.
It's still. Better. Yeah, but I meant Snake Eyes as himself. It's weird to me. I don't know. And just like how technical the suits look in this movie, and then they have the little mouth, like mouth. It's weird looking.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm guessing that's just a throw to the
original. And it has absolutely probably a throwback. You know, they're trying to make the suits look the same but still be technical. My second complaint, or not even really complaint, but just thing
issue.
That makes it, yeah, issue, is that the suits look almost a little bit too organic. especially when you have a couple of scenes where they don't have the face mask on. It's almost like Iron Man style.
Looks like they're inside
but it looks like they're in something that's like really organic because it has those protrusions onto the skin. It just looks weird to me. Like,
well, it's because it's the design of the creature that they're like the pterodactyl or the T-Rex or whatever.
But it just looks weird to me.
Because it's supposed to be like the mouth open or whatever. Like the T-Rex mouth open and you can see his face inside of it.
Yeah, but
like Voltron style.
It just looks weird to me. Like if you made it more technological... Cool, but it just looks too organic.
I think it's supposed to be though.
Right.
Stop it.
And those suits could obviously be more
biomechanical.
Yeah, more organic than what I realize that they are. I don't know. It just looks weird to me. So, but like Mike says, when they get into action, we shall see what it looks like. And I'm sure I'll totally forget about it when the movie starts and it's just like. Action scenes and
pew.
A little bit of campiness.
Punchy.
Yeah, a little bit of campiness to do a throwback. And hopefully it's just a good story and good acting all around.
Well, they're actual suits.
Yeah.
And they're not all CG.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they actually wear them.
That's cool.
Because the first photos we actually saw was the actors in the suits. Not that you could tell because they had the face on them still, but... I was wondering how the actual face transitions on. Like, does it go opaque and you can just see their faces? Or does it, like, dissolve? Does it retract?
And that's, yeah, and you explain all three of those. And the first one, I'm like, oh, that's gross. That's kind of dumb. The second one's like, okay, it's a little bit better. But again, it's that it's a weirdness to it. I'd rather have it, like, retract. Then it just feels more, it feels, like, more substantial to me than having it, like, dissolve backwards and forwards or whatnot.
What's like the suits do? Because you can see them grow, like, forming on them. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder if they're going to get blasters, too. Like, how the weapon situation is going to be.
Yeah, because that's something that they haven't really... Like, the sword is really what we...
Yeah, because even in the show, like, the original show, they didn't use the blasters nearly as much.
They're
like, did, pew, pew, but it's mostly just, like, the karates.
No, they also had the, where they were able to combine all of the
that was
the
later.
Guns.
That was later shows, yeah. I'm talking OG.
No, they had it in the OG, but it was like that super, it was like a super move that they had where they combined all the weapons together.
I don't remember that.
And yeah, it was like, it was super weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
It was like a like an ultimate finishing move.
Besides going
for the Rangers, not for in the
Zords.
Zords. Yeah. Where they literally, you know, like they made like this weird. Yeah, they took the bow from Kimberly and put it on top of the...
it was like this weird, like...
The sword from
you combined
Jason
all the Legos and together and made your own super weapon kind of thing.
Staff. And
yeah, and it made just like one,
like
you know,
weird like... shotgun thing.
Axe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. No, it went on top of the axe. That's what it was, yeah.
What was Cheney's weapon? There's the Kimberly had the bow, Jason had the sword.
She had the scythes, right?
Was it?
I think it was scythes.
I forgot the OG movie upgraded the suits too. Gave them like hard-shelled suits.
Yeah, they went to the. That's yeah. Cause that's what everyone said is like these look more like the movie than the TV shows. Like, well, it's because it's a movie.
Yeah, I mean, what? You really gonna have all your? I would really actually hate the movie if they put them all in spandex. That would have been awful.
hers. Well, I mean, I can't really call them size. They look like. They look like size in a way, like you can see they look like size, but
I was thinking more of Billy's.
Yeah, because Billy's turns into a staff.
Yeah,
and obviously axe.
Yeah, his are more bow. Or hers are more daggers. Excuse me. Wow, I went full Taj.
Yeah, you did. You're fucking disgusting. Did hers hook up to be one thing too?
No.
Okay, that makes more sense then. Bum bum. Oh, wow. I don't know what the fuck those are, but those are weird.
Probably many, 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 many.
There's so many variations of fucking. Like, there's so many.
Power Rangers.
What was that noise?
Sorry, that was me.
Oh, is that all of them combined?
I think so. That's one of them.
That's because well, that looks like the size. No,
yeah, and that's,
the bow and the axe for sure.
Because there was different versions of it, but yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah.
I think each generation of one had them.
I wouldn't doubt it. I really only watched
the OG.
OG one, yeah.
The OG.
Never really cared to watch any of the rest of them.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yep, there it is.
That's a crazy-ass crossbow.
Yep.
Crazy-ass crossbow. So it went, the axe was the handle, the sword went on top. The bow then connected to that, and then the Billy's staff broke, came in half, and was on the inside, and then Trini's knife scythe thingies were on the outside.
Yep.
So crazy ass, what the fuck are those? Someone just take real weapons and make them fucking Power Ranger shit? Like, that's a grenade launcher. It's a fucking bazooka.
And that's a fucking Daryl's gun.
Minigun?
Daryl's crossbow.
Jesus criminy. Obviously, it was drawn by somebody. Yeah, there's like so many. What is this thing? Look at that.
Yeah, I remember that one. That's
why the fuck would you need a Zord? That's a big ass rocket.
Fuck, man.
The OG ones had something like that too.
I don't remember.
that like all five of them had a carry.
Hmm. Oh, this is fantastic. I don't know what the fuck that is, but...
That is a super mega weapon.
Well, that was racist, Joe. Funny, but racist. What is this? I collect the heads of my dead.
Ooh.
That's morbid as shit, right?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Is that all Power Ranger heads on there? Or yeah.
They're like, different versions. Like, there's... That looks like the original Green Ranger. Like, that's... Yeah, that's the White Ranger. Like, this must be all versions of the... Of that... That one is red. I don't know what the fuck that is. Power Rangers Neo Saban weapons, Samurai Megaforce, Super Megaforce, and Dino Charge. What it says, I don't know.
Damn,
what the fuck that is, yeah. Fucking nutballs is what it is. All I'm saying is Power Rangers has a lot of variations on everything. Oh, look, there's the OGs with the crazy crossbow.
Yep, and that's what they would do, and then they would fire it.
Yeah. Yeah. Faux show. Oh, look, here's another one. Like a double barrel bazooka thing with a shield on it.
Why does it look like a boat?
Yeah, it probably is.
It's Power Ranger pirates.
Actually, they do kind of look like pirate hats.
It does look
hats,
like a boat, yeah.
But they look like the helmets kind of look like pirate hats.
Yeah, man, they had some weird ass variations of this shit.
Yeah, they
did. Is there like 20 of them or something like that?
Oh, I have no clue.
It's like super mega cyber force and police force and space.
It's like
something.
Every 4 years they reset it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Huh. Interesting. But yeah, I'm excited to see this movie.
Yeah, I'll definitely want to see it.
Just to see what they do with it.
Are they doing any type of 3D or any special filming?
Not that I know of.
None.
I think that it might have in large format.
That'd be dope.
But
see some
know.
Of those action scenes in fucking IMAX. Watching fucking so Zordon shit. The, yeah, fight the what's his name? Goldar.
Goldar. Yeah. I mean, are you talking Megazord?
Megazord. Sorry. Yeah, Megazord. I said that and I was like, nope, that's not right. But I'm gonna keep going with it.
I made a mistake, but I'm gonna continue.
Yep. I do find it weird what they changed Goldar into. It looks like he's literally just a freaking melted pile of gold.
He is made out of gold, yeah. And it doesn't look. It doesn't look seem like he may not have like a small form like Goldar normally does.
Yeah,
because Goldar was never really. He was. He fought them, but he was always like the general. Like he's like had the putties and whatever.
He wasn't a frontline
monster.
Person,
yeah, he was like, oh, go get him, and then later like. Did he ever go big?
Yeah, he did.
He went big, right?
Yeah.
He obviously didn't get destroyed, but he got beat up. Yeah. Yeah, see, like, these are, like... This is the... I'm showing the guys the actual helmets. This was on display at San Diego Comic-Con last year. I did not get to see this, but I saw pictures. This is what it is. So you have their coins, which is their morpher, and these are the helmets. So, like, the mouthpiece would go away... But
and
as we saw in the new trailer,
slide up.
Yeah, like yeah. this. So I'm guessing this probably goes...
Very Iron Man-esque.
The mouth would go up, and then this would go back, and it would just be the outside portion. Because even this, like, when you see Billy wearing his, I don't think this was down, and neither was even Zach's, because this was... this look. It was just like a just seeing his face, so it may just be like another form of the helmet. When like, it's like a pilot helmet version, because every time you see it, it looks like a lot of times they're in the Zord's cockpit, which is pretty cool, which is dope in the new trailer that I showed you guys, where the controls pop out of nowhere and they're kind of floating.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it's like spacey and futuristic-y. So yeah, it's interesting to see for sure. But I'm ready to see it.
And when's the premiere date?
March 28th or 26th.
So we're not too far away.
No, we're a month away.
A month away.
Next week is Logan, and then
next week's Logan.
Yeah.
Next Fuck Friday's me, Logan, dude.
Yeah. Right?
No,
you're that's sick. Crazy.
Apparently, it's been getting really good reviews.
Oh yeah. Oh wait. Yeah, it is. You can actually see him better on this one. So see how it still has that form, and it looks like it goes up. Actually, I wonder if the mouth goes down. Is it kind of, it wouldn't be enough to go in.
I think maybe it just kind of disappears.
It may. Because even like...
Like it dissolves backwards, like you said.
Well, no, because see the eyes like on Jason's?
Yeah, but they're too small to be...
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I think it shrinks in. Like it must change its size. Where'd that other picture go? Let's scroll that fucking far down. Where'd it go?
Mm-hmm.
Picture. Where are you? I'm right here. Yeah, we'll pull up the list of movies. March is a really big month for a lot of things. Video games, movies. Yeah, so the obviously the helmet changes. Because look, see the eyeball?
Yeah.
That's what I was pointing at. This must retract into the helmet somehow. Because, like, all of them have...
The more I look at it, actually, the more I think you're right. It's going to, like, dissolve away.
Yeah, it must, like, pull back into a helmet.
Well, because, like, yeah, how
the sword kind of materializes.
Yeah, and so even the suits, it just kind of materializes.
When they morph instead of
might be something that materializes backward. Yeah. All right.
Battle boards. Yeah, so, I mean, interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it. But it's also obviously a lot more futurist, spacey-ish, you know, even though they're like millions of years old. Not from our fucking galaxy. Jesus fucking Christ, what is that nonsense?
Mm-hmm.
Weird fucking alien weird things.
Yeah, but they're like, looks like a deer and a...
I don't fucking know, man.
Was there a animal version of Power Rangers?
Yeah, they did animal versions.
Well, might be it.
Actually, it was the second movie where they like one was a frog and one was...
No, that was the first movie.
Was that the first movie when they switched over?
Yeah.
From dinosaurs to like other animals?
To animals, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was one of those. Oh, Turbo was the second movie. That's right. That's where they had cars and shit.
The OG movie was kind of like my exit point.
Yeah.
For Power Rangers. I saw that and I was like, all right.
Boom. Yeah, that was about the
age. You guys suck.
Yeah.
No, I loved it.
No,
but
it was terrible.
I'm saying when I watched it, I loved it. But then I kind of knew, like, all right, well, I'm done with this.
You kind of get hit that age where it's no longer something that you're interested in.
I will have to give up whoever made this fake green one did a pretty good job, though. Because, like, even the helmet looks different.
I was talking about earlier, it'd be super dope to have, like, the end credit scene on this one. Be the reveal of the Green Ranger, like Rita fucking summoning the Green Ranger, or creating it, or whatever the fuck.
Giving him the Green Ranger stuff.
Yeah.
And that's something I can definitely see them doing, especially to set up a new
potential
movie.
Sequel.
Yeah.
So everything's got to be a franchise, friends.
Yep.
At least three.
I think superhero movies in general just kind of lend themselves to having sequels.
Well, yeah, because I mean, because
you
want to
see more of that stuff,
are serialized anyway.
It's not like you want to see fucking sequels to Manchester by the Sea or something.
No, you do not.
You shouldn't even want to see the original Manchester.
No, it's a terrific movie, as long as you know you're gonna cry a lot.
Then they do a credit scene, and it's like, oh, there's gonna be number two. I never saw the movie, so I don't.
You guys are fucking monsters. That's what I would say.
I still haven't seen it, so I can't like actually make references to the.
We can watch it tonight, and you will be depressed all night.
We're playing The Division tonight.
There we are.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, he says.
So enthusiastic, just like last night.
Went to bed super early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like you texted friends or anything. Like that.
Right?
I was already asleep.
Scumbag. Still oh, look, the putties.
Oh, nice.
The best part is look at the ground. Parts of them. Jason's fucking them up. The suits look like they move really well in real life, too. Like, he's got a really good stance on it.
I would hope so. Costume design, even though it's not really recognized by
the
Academy
movie.
Awards.
There's the movie.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Has come a long way.
Look at the upgrade it was from the show, though.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know what I mean? Like
onesies to fucking...
Yeah.
Fucking pleather.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. That toy gives away what Jason's sword looks like.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, wait. I just realized they have a morpher in their belt.
Yeah, that's where their morpher goes.
But it actually looks like a traditional morpher. It doesn't look like the coin.
The coin was in them.
Well, no. I'm saying so far I haven't seen, like, you haven't, like, in the original show they had a morpher and they would pull it out and, you know, it's morphin' time. So far we've only seen the coin inside that, like, shell
thing. You think they're going to do the cutaway scene where they...
At least once they have to do it. Like they'll get the original...
The end of the movie is how they're, that's how they're going to end it.
They get a call and that's how they introduce the Green Ranger.
Yeah.
They get a call, like, you know, and it's like... Morphin time,
they pull, and they all pull it out.
Fucking
and it
amazing.
Has to do the Jason in the front thing. And yeah, all the.
Be rad.
Yeah.
It would be dope. There was a toy. I just get. Oh, damn it. Hit the wrong button. There was a thing showing a bunch of toys, and I think it had a morpher in it that looked like the one that was in Jason's belt and that other toy. Oh, yep. There it is. Oh, it looks like the ship.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So obviously, that would be. After they get the suits, that's what they would have remotely, because they're not going to run back to the ship and transform
the suit
everything.
Comes out of that?
Probably, yeah, like Geiger style. Probably not mounted in the back of their heads.
I was thinking more of like Spider-Man 2099? 2099, yeah. Where it comes out of his watch.
Yeah. Yep. So, yep. It's morphin' time, bitches. Booyah. Like every picture a fan makes of like the comparison of like the new Rangers versus the old ones always has Tommy in the lineup. Like even this one where it's side by side, I just realized there's six of them. Like there's Tommy.
Yeah.
And they're out of order. Like this guy can't even make the order correct.
No.
What a fucking lazy piece of shit. Like he just takes this image, which they already made. Like this is one come from Sabin's. And he takes this one, which. Just being lazy, bro. Like, just you could line them up. Just match them up. Yeah, you have Tommy in one end, whatever. But, like, Trini's facing Kimberly. Kimberly's down here. Like, don't be a piece of shit. Like, oh, actually, Zach's kind of close to himself. Billy's not. That Billy's like, I'm over here. What a lazy piece of garbage person. Internet's lazy. I'm getting that. When they're afraid of weird shit.
I'm trying to remember. Someone in my family, on my mom's side of the family, had, for Christmas one year, given me costume, like, pictures of the Green Ranger, the Blue Ranger, and somebody else, Polaroids, that they took of them in the costume design,
like, phase.
Yeah, phase.
Like getting
like behind the scenes, like the actual Polaroids that were taken. I'm like, all right, here's this stage and this stage. So I had at one point three different pictures of them in like early stages of suits. It's pretty dope. I should go back. I should probably try to find those.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool. Dope. I just remembered that right now. I forgot about that.
Where'd she get them?
She worked in this. Studio, not in the studio, but like something where she went in the studio and like she knew the people there.
Wow, that's dope.
Probably worked at the same company, just not the same, or at the same studio, just not on that project.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Mm.
What else is coming out soon?
I was gonna pull it up right now.
Fucking Logan, bitch.
Got Logan that's coming out. Yeah,
that's all you need to know about,
motherfucker.
Apparently, it's been getting really good reviews.
Has been.
Get Out. Was getting really good reviews too.
Yeah, that's this week.
Ugh, God, that looks frightening.
Right? I don't know what to think about that because I know where it comes from.
Meh.
So
half of Key and Peele.
Right?
How weird is it that like he's doing this crazy scary movie that's getting super dope reviews, and then the other one's gonna be doing Predator?
Right? So weird.
It is pretty strange. I'm trying to remember. I was trying to remember what animals they changed into, because wasn't Billy the Frog?
No, it was the guy who replaced the black dude. Was the frog.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Because remember the guy who was the black guy who was the Black Ranger wasn't the Black Ranger in the movie? It was some, I want to say Asian, but I'm not sure.
Nope, don't remember.
Nope.
Nope.
Just safely say you don't remember. Don't say it was Asian.
Don't be racist. Don't be racist. Don't be racist.
Racist.
I don't remember.
Was Jason not in that movie?
I don't know.
Was that the one where he wasn't in it?
No, I want to say it was all cast except for the Black Ranger.
Oh, it was Skull and Bulk were the bullies. No, it was. It was because Rocky DeSantos took over as the Red Ranger.
Really?
As the character's name. Steve Cardenas is the name of the actor. Yeah, because it had Tommy Oliver, Kimberly Hart, Billy Cranston, Adam Park, Rocky DeSantos, and Aisha Campbell. Bum bum. Bum bum bum. Yeah. Keep looking it up, Mike. I'm going to look up movies. Can't spell.
To replace the Black Ranger and the Red Ranger?
Yeah, I think so.
Dang. That's fucked up.
Booyah. We will go with Movie Phone because it's the first one on here. Yeah, bad choice. That was a bad choice. That's a bunch of random shit. Mistakes.
I made a mistake.
It's easy to make on the internet.
Yeah. That's better. Booyah. Holy shit. There's a lot of things that come out in the third.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of great stuff, but. Logan. Okay. The Shack, which I believe is the one with the guy from Avatar. What's his name? Sam Worthington.
Yeah, that looks awful.
Yeah, it's an adaptation from a book of some sort.
Hmm.
Adaptation, I should say. Before I Fall, which is like a teenage movie. The Last Word and Table 19. Those are the big ones. The rest of them are all, you know, not as big. So obviously we're gonna see Logan that week. Week later you have Kong Skull Island, and the other one I want to see out of that bunch, because that's the only other one I want to see, would be Raw, which is that crazy ass fucking I want to say it's a Finnish movie or something like that. Basically a girl who's a vegetarian becomes a cannibal.
Oh,
it's the one that was like had a, or it might be French, where like it had like people like passing out and like in a certain scene that I didn't read about because I want to fucking witness it for myself. But I doubt we're going to really see that one in theaters like wide, because it just says New York, Los Angeles on March 10th. But it has a rated R, so that's good. Week after that, you have Beauty and the Beast in the Belko experiment. Expanding Raw on that week. So week later. Hmm. Oh, and Trainspotting 2 is that week too. So, yeah. And then the 24th is Power Rangers, Chips, and Life. Oh, Life, that other space movie with Deadpool and what's-his-face.
Yep. That really creepy one that I stopped watching previews for because I'm sold on it already.
It was in space. Like, we could have just told you it was a space movie, but like, well, okay, I don't need to watch
trailers. Very true. Now. But it's a space movie that involves aliens and Ryan Reynolds.
So. And then, to wrap up the month, Friday, March 31st, literally wrapping up the month, is Mike's favorite movie for the year, which is Boss Baby, and Ghost in the Shell.
I will say they've been playing more previews for Boss Baby, and
makes you laugh every time, right?
Kind of makes you laugh, yeah, exactly.
Kind of. I laugh every time.
I like
when he throws the money at him and says he wants some California rolls. I legitimately like laugh every time I see that, or when the whole like putting the diaper on situation. Yeah. He's powdering him and he like shoots powder at his face, obviously from a fart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that baby
fart powder,
farted powder in his face. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you not find that funny?
Yeah.
Like, you would be a racist if you don't find that funny.
And Alec Baldwin is the perfect voice
for the kid.
A baby.
And there's a Glengarry Glen Ross
comment
in it. Cookies are for closers. I was like, oh, once they got Alec Baldwin, they had to add that in. I mean, that's just a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you knew that wasn't in there before. They're like, who are we going to get? Well, I mean,
Alec Baldwin.
They're like, bullshit. we could call him. I mean, he's not really doing much else other than playing Trump on Saturday Night Live.
That's true.
30 Rock's never going to make that movie they didn't tell us about.
Right.
Dude, I'd be so down for a 30 Rock movie.
Fuck yeah, you would.
All day.
All day or God day.
Damn it.
And then it's April kind of is gross.
Well, let's talk about this upcoming month. What are we most excited for?
I know it's going to sound weird coming from me. Logan. I'm probably the most excited about that because of all the good buzz it is getting. And I haven't read any of the reviews because I don't want, because a lot of them, like, either spoiler review, I'm like, nah, it's, you know, no, it's not going to be spoiler free. You're fucking liars.
Yeah.
So I know I'm excited about that. I haven't watched any of the clips they've put out because, you know, Fox likes to put out clips of shit. So I haven't watched any of those. I'm just really excited to see how they do.
Did you watch the one where he broke the shotgun over his knee?
I did not watch that one.
No, I did not.
The only thing I've really gone into, and it wasn't really a spoiler, was an interview with James Mangold, the director, and how he worked with Hugh Jackman to get it rated R. They're talking about when the script process, when they agreed finally on the final script, they sent it to Fox, and Fox said, well, if you guys are shooting for R, it's like not going to make it. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, the violence you describe in here is not, like, that's pretty tame. He's like, all right, got to spruce it up. So I went back through and they sprinkled like some disembowelments and shit. Like he's just gutting people and like actual like losing of bowels, like
yeah,
cutting off heads and shit. And then they're like, yeah, no, that's going to get it. And he's like, and for extra measure, F-bombs. Just a shit ton of F-bombs. Like he's like, you get a 90-year-old Charles Xavier to say the F word, you're getting a rated R for sure. He's like, because I think it's one F-bomb gets you, it is okay in a PG-13.
Yeah.
And it's like four more gets you R. He's like, nah. Every scene, fuck it. So, that's for March. That's my.
This is crazy because this is the first time I've been excited about an X-Men movie.
Same as everybody,
right?
In years, dude, years.
I think since 2.
Well, to be fair, I was excited about 3. but we didn't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I kind of was, but then also kind of wasn't because I knew, like, after the first trailer, I was like, I'm upset about this.
I've never been a huge fan of the X-Men. I liked them. I used to watch the cartoon show.
We know you used to watch the cartoon show and have the toys.
No, I didn't really have any of the toys. I had trading cards, though.
Yeah, you did, you nerd.
To answer the question of, like, what's my most anticipated movie of this next month, I'd almost have to say Life. But Logan is up there, maybe second, because I can't really think of that list. Like
Kong,
yeah, maybe that'd be more of like a third for me. Yeah, Power Rangers, third or fourth. Like,
it's a good stretch.
It's a good stretch.
It's exciting stretch. Definitely. We're going into
March. Right now. Yeah, no, March is a good month. Like I said, April is the one that's actually pretty lackluster,
which is good because we're coming off of some low times. Right. Because
like the biggest movie in April, which is when I say this is. But well, it's actually the biggest one. It is would be Fate of the Furious. That's April's big, the only tentpole movie for the most part, other than Smurfs. Ugh. I don't know if that was a good sign or not.
No, that was directed at Fast and the Furious actually. I hope so. In the break room yesterday, one of the Fast and the Furious movies was on. Had to have been one of the later ones. It was the one with Jason Statham.
That was the last one.
Newest one.
That was the newest one.
7. Yeah.
What part pissed you off? Jumping a car between buildings?
No.
Was it that
so
part?
Where it actually accelerates in the air? I literally came up on the point where they're all sitting in cars, and they're talking back and forth to each other, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? They're preparing for some mission. And suddenly a ramp opens up, and you realize, oh, they're on a military plane, and they're about to be dropped off from there. I'm like, well, first off, that's dumb.
You're stupid.
Secondly, they're arguing back and forth with one of the guys, and he doesn't want to do it. And they're like, "Oh, but the parachutes are GPS driven." And I'm like, "What? GPS driven? How are these parachutes?
The little fans that just
GPS driven?" And then when the cars go out the window, it's like, first off, the shot may look cool, but the way the way that they are placed in air looks like they're just gonna that they should have just wrecked into each other. And secondly, even though the last guy gets forced out of the plane, like probably 20 miles down the road, or you know down the way, he still looks like he still somehow ends up with them falling in
he
midair.
He had to speed up in the air.
Oh, okay, yeah, that totally makes sense. So then, after that, their parachutes deploy, and most of them, all of them except for the one guy, land on the road and just drive off. And I'm like, well, that's so not real.
Yeah, like, you guys you have to come to the realization that these movies are made now to be as ridiculous as possible.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no realism no. left in these movies.
Because that scene led into the chase to a chase scene with a bus and a couple of other cars. We'll skip past some parts with M60s and how these really fast cars can, you know, yes, they put armor on them, but for some reason they're still really fast and whatnot, can take all these rounds. But anyway, so the last scene that kind of just made my brain hurt. Like, I couldn't understand why this was going on. So they extract this hacker girl, because they're always hackers, out of the bus. And the bus driver, who hasn't been paying attention to any of the gunfire or the fact that the back of the bus was ripped off,
it's fine.
During the movie, just kept driving. He gets shot in the back. Bus starts careening all over the place. Finally lands on its side and just starts skidding for like the most unreasonably longest amount of time.
What happened, Joe, you don't understand. It was going really fast. And before the cameras for the movie got there, there was a slight oil spill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But like not like a fire oil, like a lubricant like type
Crisco?
Thing. Kind of just slid on it.
But
more.
You think that's my complaint? That's not my complaint.
Okay,
actually.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because
I was trying to defend that.
You have have Paul Walker's character and whatever the head bad guy of the bus, his character, were fighting back and forth inside the bus while
it's
it was
Tony Jaa.
Was it Tony Jaa? I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, he doesn't know fucking. He doesn't know that shit.
I know who Tony Jaa is.
I just didn't
recognize him from it.
Racism.
That's what you were getting at. Go ahead.
No, it's not what I was getting at all. Anyway, so they're fighting back and forth. It's a pretty cool fight scene, actually. It's
so
pretty
Paul
decent.
Paul Walker fights Tony Jaa.
Yeah,
it's Tony a pretty, gets not, his ass whooped too.
Okay,
he gets his ass whooped. It's a pretty fun. It's a pretty
Did
fun
they kill
scene.
Him off, by the way, in the movie, Paul Walker.
No, he drives off.
Okay. I haven't seen it, so.
Speaking of dropped off, so the bus is going towards a cliff. And it's obviously one of those, oh, it's going to reach the cliff, and it's going to be like, oh, it's teetering on the edge type of thing. So here's the part that I do not get whatsoever. The bad guy and Paul Walker's character see that it's going towards the cliff. They both try and escape out the back of the bus, which has been torn off at this point. There is a cage door that is open. Paul Walker's about to get out, but Tony Jaa's character throws him back, jumps over, closes the cage, and it's locked.
The prison bus?
It seems like it. Here's the problem. So the bus finally comes to a stop. Paul Walker's character decides to walk to the front and just open the bus door. What was the fucking reason for that fucking cage door?
Is that the one where they jump off the side and catch him in the air in the convertible?
No.
In the trailer?
That wasn't that part.
Or was that a different movie?
I think
because he hits the bus door, the bus door opens up, climbs out the bus door, almost gets hit by the bus driver's dead body that finally falls out. Climbs up the front, and then does the running thing as the bus teeters off. But my
classic
complaint,
action movie stuff,
which was fine. My complaint was literally like, what was the fuck of that door then? Like, if I could literally just escape out the front door,
maybe Tony Jaa was hoping the door was damaged, or it slowed him down enough.
But no, from a design perspective of that vehicle, You put cage doors in. You put those types of cage doors in vehicles in order to keep people inside a certain section.
Oh, what is the back of the bus?
So
I don't know. I'd have to see either. It, but I don't know what it is. I'm not going to see it. So May, on the other hand, not to keep getting going with this,
but so to keep
April,
going with this.
Yeah, we're
going to
go with that. Nothing else planned. April is literally like, it's got really two big movies, one for kids and one for adult kids. Mm-hmm. And that is The Smurfs for the kids and then Fate of the Furious for the adult kids. They have like The Lost City of Z, which is oddly enough listed here as a biography. It's an adaptation of a book.
Okay.
But it's the one with Charlie Hunnam and Spider-Man is in it as well. Holland.
Is it a zombie movie?
No, that's the thing. It's about the lost. It literally is The Lost City of Z. It's like a one of those, like, I can't remember the guy's name. It's about a guy who basically goes to find this fabled city of Z.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this anybody who's gone looking for it has become lost and never has come back for it. And they get pictures of this guy outside of it, I guess. And then, like, so he, like, does the research and he's like, oh, he's not lost. He's living there. I'm going to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Aborigines come after him. All sorts of crazy shit goes on. Anyways. So, yeah, that one. And then May, obviously, is being dominated by a Disney movie. And that Disney movie is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah.
It is the first week, so it is March 6th. Or March 5th. Or May 5th, I'm sorry. Then, the only movie, the next week, you only have one big, real big movie, and that's The King Arthur Legend of the Sword. The rest of them are just little stuff. Then, on May 19th, you have Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
And then the next Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie. But then the week after that, to follow up that month, you have Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, and Baywatch.
All right.
Nice little round out there for May, for sure. We discussed this before. May is officially the start of summer.
In movie land?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Guardians is the first one, obviously. Setting your fucking tone, right? If you ask me. And then June is when shit starts getting cray-cray, if you know what I mean. Because you have Wonder Woman 1 week. You have The Mummy the next week. You have Cars 3. And the biopic for... or the biography movie, True Story of All Eyes on Me. For Tupac, the same week. You know, those two audiences, they're like fighting for him. Then you have Transformers. And then the last week you have Despicable Me 3 to round out the month. So every week, again, has a fairly large movie to go on. And then, you know. And July is where it actually gets, like, weird. Because you have a bunch of... Well, we have one, two. Well, I'll go through them. So the first movie would be July 7th, which will be Spider-Man Homecoming. So obviously we know what we're seeing July 6th when we're in San Diego. Because why not, right? Then you have War of the Planet Apes on the 14th. You have Valerian, the City of a Thousand Planets, and Dunkirk. Both on July 21st. So that's a... Joe wants to go see Dunkirk. And then you have The Dark Tower to finish up July.
Nice. Yeah. We don't even have, like, a clip or nothing of that yet, huh?
All we have is behind-the-scenes footage. Yeah. It's just, like, of Idris Elba dressed as Roland without a hat. Without a hat.
Right.
Shooting at people in what looks to be modern day or modernish day New York.
So we'll see how that really goes.
Yes, we will have to see how that really goes.
How crazy and similar it is to the books.
Yeah, because it couldn't be a whole lot. Because them books is crazy. The shit that happens in the first book, you can't do in one movie.
No.
Because there's like three...
And half that... book you couldn't do in a movie unless it gets rated X.
Literally, like the whole fucking gun abortion.
Yeah, exactly.
there's literally three sections of that movie that could be movies of their own.
Yeah.
You have, four, because you have the history, the past one, it's back in Gilead.
Yeah, he does do a couple of flashbacks. You could limit those, but...
Well, because in the first book, that's the one he tells about him becoming a gunslinger, right?
No, he sprinkles that all throughout his books.
No, but like the one about when he actually takes he gets forced into taking the trial. Isn't that in the first book?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it is.
But they make mention of it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And he expands on it a lot as the books go on. I could really definitely see it being two movies. You have the town scene, because that happened over an extended period of time. He actually stayed in that town for a while.
Yeah.
But then you have...
It culminates in like one afternoon.
Yeah. But then you have
the way station.
Where he travels, he gets back on the road, he meets that farmer with the freaking creepy raven, and then he finds the way station.
Finds Jake.
And yeah, at that way station he finds Jake, and then he heads into the mountains after Walter. So I could definitely see like that point after a little bit after that farmer scene is where you could split the book into two movies.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the first book is where he talks more about Gilead, because he talks about...
I'm sure he talks about it. Like, it's just that, like I said...
Because that's when he has his hawk, right, David?
Yeah, because that was his final trial. Yeah. And one of the parts of the final trial was that you picked your weapon, and he chose the eagle, whereas Court chose his stick, I think it was. Yeah.
And Court got his ass handed to him.
Eventually, yeah, because at first Roland looked like he was going to get his ass handed to him, and then finally, yeah, he had David swoop in and just fucking scratch the hell out of Court.
Yeah, because that was later in the book. It was after he met Jake, because he was telling Jake about it.
I'm sure he was, yeah. It just wasn't, from my recollection, it wasn't a huge part of the...
There was a lot of it.
Of the book.
Scope of the book, it was not a lot of it, because that book's fucking long as shit.
Yeah, so that's why I definitely see that if you were to split the book up into... If you were to do a movie, to properly do it, split it up into two books, you have the village part or the town part, and then you have the way station through the meeting with Walter and ending with him on the beach.
Yeah, well, him getting to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so fucking... I don't know.
But my question in this, and you probably don't know this, and I haven't looked it up just because it literally just occurred to me. Has anybody talked to Stephen King about his impressions of what they're doing with
the
movie?
He's happy with it.
He's happy with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the thing about Stephen King, though, and we've talked about him before, yes, he used to sell the rights for a penny just so they get made. But he's producing this. He's executive producer on this one.
Okay.
Which is more... than he has before.
Yeah.
He's
directed before.
Yeah.
But
I mean, of like the more like the moderner ones. No, he's happy with what they did.
And okay.
He believes that it's if I remember correctly, he says it's the best way to adapt it for screen.
As long as his input as the creator is positive, I have a positive outlook on it.
Yeah,
so far.
Because he's been happy with everything except for The Shining.
Yeah, he hated The Shining.
Stand By Me and one other one. I can't remember what it was. It might have been Cujo.
Was it Cujo? Because I thought he looked back on...
Is it Christine then?
No, I thought he looked back on... what was the car one? Not Christine, the other one that he directed, and realized that he was a little bit too coked out at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Properly. No, yeah. He honestly... Yeah.
Didn't he say he doesn't remember writing Cujo too? Like
Cujo's fucking terrifying.
He was so blacked out, drunk or coked up or some shit that he legit doesn't remember writing it.
Yeah.
See, when I get super drunk, I just pass out and I'm really achy the next day.
Don't write write award winning books?
No, apparently not.
Well, we were reading that thing yesterday about Castle Rock, which I was going to get to.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about it, but. Do you know, so his career as a writer has lasted for 40 years.
Yes.
Which is the longest He's the longest running, most prolific writer in American history.
I'd imagine that, because he's written
50 novels in 40 years.
Yeah.
And like a bunch of...
Think
like,
about that. Those are just novels. That's not novellas. Are,
yeah.
Those are actual like novel books. Those are like full those are full-on books. That's do the math real quick.
And he's never had a subwriter like you see a lot of writers doing.
It's
now.
Him.
Yeah.
He's never had a ghostwriter. It's been him the entire time. He even went as far as having a different name on some books
in his early stuff just to see if his popularity was and, because of his name or because of his writing.
Yeah, so like the dude did more than a book a year.
Mhm.
He wrote, what the fuck, man? Like, and cocaine, they're like...
Cocaine, you'll write a lot of shit, you won't remember it, but you'll write a lot.
You know? And not, I mean, he, even he says himself, not all of them are bestsellers.
No.
They sell well.
A lot of really highly respected books in that.
Yeah. And I mean, they all become bestsellers because they're Stephen King books.
Right.
But there's a lot of them that don't have this fan following that, like, you know, The Shining does or...
You're looking at the comparison between like Cell or Cellular or whatever it was and The Shining.
Cell,
Like I remember reading the first couple of chapters of The Cell and being like, this is garbage.
Yeah.
But you read The Shining and you're like, this is scary and fantastic.
Yeah. So people, and you see, like I'm looking at the books right now, like a lot of them on the covers and stuff, it'll say from the writer of.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like I think pull out Firestarter, Mike, if you can get Firestarter out of there. And it's good. Buried right now. I think it's Firestarter that has one of it says something on it, I think, on the cover. What's below Firestarter?
A novel by the author of The Dead Zone.
Yeah, which is The Dead Zone, which I did not know, is his first novel.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I don't know why that, I thought that was later
but
on.
But just looking at this one, it was like Cujo movie. Dead Zone movie and successful TV show. Carrie movie.
Three movies, technically.
Yeah.
Is that the Misery? With
That's
the
Misery, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did that.
Yep.
Movie. Firestarter movie. The Dark Half.
I don't think so.
TV no. show. Was or TV miniseries.
Christine movie.
Oh, Christine is the one you're talking about, right, Joe? The
No, Christine's not the one I'm talking about.
Really?
No.
The car one?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Dark Tower is about to be a movie.
That's a fifth book.
And then,
but it's still part of the
Tommyknockers TV movie, right?
Miniseries,
yeah.
You have It on the side over here by Joe's elbow.
Dang.
And then what's over next to you?
Well, so, next to the other car you one. Have.
Oh, Buick. Yeah.
Buick. The Eyes of the Dragon.
This
Salem's Lot. The Shining. And Pet Sematary.
Yeah. So just I mean those alone, you have a handful of movies. TV shows, whatever.
That is not how you spell King.
Nope.
Kang.
So I mean, that's just like think about like, that, like just that like top shelf right there, like the like from Cujo
if a
to
writer, if an author just had this shelf.
Yep.
Very successful, very celebrated writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got another 40 something books and novellas and shit. Like other than those. It's fucking crazy.
If he just written like Cujo, Carrie, Misery, and It, he'd be considered a great writer.
Yeah.
Oh, he also has The Green Mile. We can't forget about that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he wrote
that
the
was
Green
a great
Mile.
Movie.
Yeah. Let's see. Where are some?
Well,
other
Stand
things?
By Me is technically a novella.
Stand by
called
Me.
The Body.
Yep.
The Mist is a novel, and it's shorter, definitely shorter than one that has. The Fog was one of his, right?
Yeah, The Fog was one of his.
Yeah. And that was a short story, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
11-22-63.
Yep.
We got the Hulu TV series off that. Storm of the Century. Was,
oh, shit, yeah, that's his, yeah.
Was, yeah. That was the and Needful Things, which was a short story. God, he's just, I don't know, he's... I would think that one of the reasons why he has had so many of his books turned into movies, though, is because, and movies and TV shows, is because he offered them for a dollar or a penny or whatever it was to, he sold the rights to them.
Just so he could see them be made.
Yeah, just so he can
see
them.
He wants to
see
what people would do with them.
Yeah.
And which, lot, I mean, bit him in the ass a couple times, but not as many as it possibly could.
Yeah.
I mean, for all the movies they did make, or miniseries, what do you want to call them, because there's a couple that took the right approach and went miniseries because these books are fucking long as shit. You have like you're gonna have misses just in general. You know what I mean? You're not Marvel Disney.
You don't have like they have the creative rights to everything, and they're hands on in everything. His stuff wasn't hands on in everything. Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff that he was hands on in wasn't very good. Such as that movie I'm trying to find. What was it? Was it Night Shift? No, that was a.
No, that's the Doctor one.
That's the Doctor one.
That's right there.
Although I did like his Kingdom Hearts and Rose Red.
Rose Red, yeah.
Yeah, those were really good TV miniseries.
Was Maximum Ride his?
Maximum Overdrive. That's what I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, that's his, right? That's the one. That one's terrible.
That was the one that he directed.
Yeah, the movie's terrible.
And that's the one I was trying to remember. Okay. In fact, there it is right there, 1986. Finally hit it.
Terrible. Terrible fucking movie.
Yeah.
It is. Super dope.
That movie's terrible.
It's super dope. Emilio Estevez. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez's greatest work.
Well, that's a short fucking list.
Hey, fuck you.
Mighty Ducks counts as one. We have discussed this before.
Mighty Ducks does count as one. Count as one.
Minute Work.
Minute Work.
So you have you have two.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum Overdrive.
You say that's three, right? You
think
okay, all right.
Yeah.
Breakfast Club.
No. Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Fucking Mission Impossible.
You're a terrible person.
He was in it, and that movie was dope.
But it wasn't his. It wasn't his movie.
He was in that movie.
So was a goldfish. We're not gonna call it his movie.
Goldfish didn't get paid.
That goldfish acted the hell out of his scene.
Ugh. Anyways, so The Dark Tower obviously is being released as a movie with the McConaughey's and the Idris Elba and some new kid who plays Jake.
That's why I'm excited about that movie, because that's a cool
speaking of
pair.
That
McConaughey and Idris Elba together.
Speaking of that, did you ever? I think I told Joe about it. The Dark Tower. Oh wow, Joe's not the only one that can't spell simple fucking words,
right?
Also me, I can't spell anything.
So in I read this little blurb about it, and I don't know why it took me so long to think about what it was. So, the upcoming 2017 American sci-fi fantasy western horror film, directed and co-written by that dude's name, based on the series of novels of the same name by Stephen King, the film is a quasi-sequel to the Dark Tower book series, following the ending of the Dark Tower 7, The Dark Tower.
You're fucking me.
No.
That's what this is?
That's what this is. I remember when you said it, when you said, like, where it is, I remembered. Oh, I just read that.
You need to finish the books then.
I'm going to, but the thing is, I'm trying. That's what I'm going to read.
You can't see the movie until you finish
the books. Oh, so it's not
a remake.
It's a quasi-sequel, and that's why we see him on the streets of New York. Yeah.
God damn it. There's so much to say, but Cody hasn't read it.
Does that make
yet.
You happier?
Yes, actually.
So the thing that gets me in this is the description of Matthew McConaughey's character, which is he's called Walter Paddock, or Paddick, or whatever that is, an ageless deceiver and sorcerer who also seeks to reach the tower and rule over its seemingly infinite kingdoms. And then it says, where'd it go? About the character Paddock, the director/writer, he is a timeless sorcerer, and being a Stephen King fan, I've read and experienced Walter in various iterations, making reference to The Stand and The Eyes of the Dragon. And then it goes on to say something about, where'd it go? Something else was in there about here too, and I can't remember what it was. But there was no... Oh, that's what it was. There's no mention of Eddie Dean or Susanna.
I want to spoil so much.
Tell Mike. It's fine.
But if I tell Mike, you're right here.
It's fine.
I can't. I can't.
Yeah, you're an asshole. It's fine.
I'm not an asshole. That's the problem.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's weird that it's,
because it answers so, that blurb that you read answers so many questions that people had about the ending.
Yeah, that's the thing, that's what, I remember reading this, and that's why I wanted to bring it up before we talk about Castle Rock, and we wrap this up. What I didn't understand about this is because it's a quasi-sequel, do you think that's going to play good with fans? Like, people who aren't read the books, though?
Yeah. Yes.
Because it wouldn't be like it's jumping into...
No.
Okay. Is that why he doesn't have a hat? Is that bothers me?
There's just, like, the ending...
Is that how they're going to get past the whole Susanna being black thing, do you think? Because that was going to bother me. She can't call him a honky and a cracker.
Yeah, but knowing where they're picking up from explains everything.
Everything, though?
Everything.
Everything? Yep. Does it explain everything, though?
Mm-hmm. It does.
I don't know.
How many books are there?
7.
That's too many books.
Well, 8 if you include the one that he wrote after.
If it was like 1, I'd read it before the movie came out.
Honestly, if you could... Well, yeah. Honestly, it's a very good Western book.
Ish,
and I know you love Western. Yeah, Western-ish. But I mean, he's
a gunfighter. I listened to the first, like, a good chunk of it. I listened to it. But I just stopped listening to it.
You've got my Amazon account. You can listen to any of the books that you want.
I disconnected it.
Do you want to hear the official synopsis?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's Jake Chambers, played by Tom Taylor, who is a young 11-year-old adventure seeker who discovers clues about another dimension called Midworld. I don't know why they said young 11-year-old, because, I mean...
It's a, yeah, you know, young is young and 11 is young, so you're already,
Anyways, upon following the mystery, he is spirited away to Midworld, where he encounters a lone frontiersman knight, Roland Deschaine, as they say here, played by Idris Elba, who is on a quest to reach the Dark Tower that resides in Endworld and reach the nexus point between time and space that he hopes will save Midworld from extinction. But with various monsters and an invasive sorcerer named Walter Paddock, played by Matthew McConaughey, hot on their trail, the unlikely duo find their quest may be difficult to complete. That's the synopsis of the Dark Tower movie.
Which sounds like the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah. They're not being...
It's mostly in the explanation that it takes place after the book series.
Quasi-sequel.
That it's a very interesting thing, and it explains away any difference from the book that you'll have. I mean, with the exception of him suddenly being black, but who cares? It's Idris Elba.
Yeah, I mean, I'm completely okay with it.
Yeah.
So, to explain the 8 books to Mike and to everybody else. So you have 8 books total, but one is a half a book that is a companion book in a way.
Okay.
So you have the Dark Tower of the Guns... Well, so I'm not going to say Dark Tower every time. So you have the first book, which is called The Gunslinger. You have The Drawing of 3, which is actually the second book. I know the name is weird, but, you know, Stephen King. You have The Wastelands, which is 3. Wizard in the Glass, which is 4. Then you have 4.5, which is The Wind Through the Keyhole, which he wrote in 2012, which was 8 years after he wrote the last book.
So it's just like a go back and explain some shit kind of thing?
It was a go back and, yeah, do a little bit more... discovery into Roland's past and his relationship with his other friends that he had at the beginning of his journey.
Which is what everyone wanted to know about,
because
by the end of it, apparently, I haven't got there yet, they don't actually explain all of what happened to them. You just know that they were with him and then they weren't for some reason.
Yeah, there's little snippets here and there of, like, not what happened to him, but, like, He'll name off, like, all these friends that he started out the adventure with, and then it's just, like, suddenly they're one less friend in some of the adventures he's telling, so they don't really explain a lot of where, you know, all these people died or whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's where, in that book, they do go over his history a bit more and some of the more integral parts that still haven't it's hard to explain without spoiling things. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, and then we have book 5, which is Wolves of Kala, book 6, Song of Susanna, and then the last air quotes last book, The Dark Tower, which is book 7, which I'm gonna have to get through these books before the movie. But goddamn, dude, some of these. So, The Wastelands is 512 pages.
My bad.
Cool, right? The Wizard in the Glass, which is book 4, is 787 pages.
Okay.
That's not even the longest one. Then they get the 4.5, so The Dark Tower, The Wind Through the Keyhole, which is the book he did after everything. That's only 336 pages. Then you have The Wolves of Kala, which is 714 pages. Then you have The Song of Susanna, which is 432 pages. And then you have the fucking behemoth that is The Dark Tower, which is just rounds out at about 845 pages.
It's hefty.
Yeah.
That was a marathon of a book
to
go through.
That's fucking ridiculous.
All right. You know what I'm going to do before the movie comes out?
Not read any of them?
Not read any of them because I don't want to...
Which is interesting because from your perspective, it won't ruin anything of the books. It's not like you have to know the books in order to understand the movie, but if you understand the books, the movie is wow.
So this is a weird little thing that's in here for some reason. So it has page count, word count, and the year it was released, right? So no big deal release. So word count, it gives you a total at the bottom.
No, fuck that. Don't want to know. It's not a godly number.
So all 8 books, right? Total number 4,250 pages. Words written in these 8 books 1,334,631.
I don't think I've ever written down 1 million words in general,
right?
This dude did it in 8 books, and those 8 books
that took him 40 years or so to do.
Well, I mean, from 1982 to 2012.
So not 40 years, but yeah.
But yeah, dude, Serial though, bro, Serial. That shit's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like 3/4 of the way through book 3.
Oh, you got some reading to do, bitch.
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare me? How dare you? How
dare you?
Yeah, you haven't finished it yet.
Fuck you, Joe.
I finished it.
I've read other books.
Joe's
too. Way better than you at this.
Yeah.
But I haven't until July 28th to finish them.
Well, how long is that? How many months? That's like.
Well, today is the 20.
How long does it take you to get to work?
An hour each way.
So if you, because it was somewhere around 25 hours per book for the audiobook.
Yeah. So
2 hours back and forth plus whatever.
25 hours per book? Fuck. That's why I stopped listening to it.
And you were reading one of the shorter ones.
I got.
Let me see.
I was overwhelmed.
I have it right here.
Too much pressure.
So The Dark Tower. I can pull it up here. Ooh, no,
so you literally were looking at the shortest. You didn't even finish the shortest book. Because the first book, The Gunslinger, is 224.
The Dark Tower, the last book, is 28 hours and 10 minutes.
Fuck that.
Yeah, because book 3, which is 512, is 512 pages. I think the audiobook is 22 hours.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your Castle Rock thing?
So Castle Rock just announced by the J.J. Abrams and the Stephen Kings. Castle Rock is the second joint venture between those two people and his company, basically, Bad Robot, for Hulu again. And it is an all-new mystery thriller set in the Stephen King universe. So Castle Rock is mentioned several times by various people and set for various novels in the Stephen King mythos, I guess you could say. Let me click here. It's a fictional town that's in Maine, like most of the stuff he writes. And it actually was it's taken from the fictional mountain fort from Lord of the Flies, which is Stephen King's favorite book, if you guys didn't know. So it, again, it's basically, it's in Maine. It has ties to, so these are the ones that are set in actual Castle Rock. So you have the Dead Zone, Cujo, the Body, which is Stand By Me. You have Uncle Otto's Truck, Miss Todd's Shortcut, the Dark Half, the Sun Dog, Needful Things, and It Grows on You. Those are all set in Castle Rock, Maine. Then the list, and I'll try to shoot through these quickly. These works reference Castle Rock at some point in their range or in their stories. So you have Graveyard Shift, Creep Show, Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption, Pet Sematary, Grandma, Nona, It, Gerald's Game, Sleepwalkers, The Stand, Bag of Bones, The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, Riding the Bullet, Dreamcatcher, The Man in the Black Suit, Kingdom Hospital, Lizzie's Story, In, Under the Dome, Premium Harmony, 11-22-63, A Good Marriage, Doctor Sleep and Revival. So, the synopsis of this TV series, it's a 10-episode miniseries that's going to be on, right now it's one season, but it's a 10-episode season, is basically going to be set in this town or around, and around this town, and have ties to all of Stephen King's work. So it's going to be connective tissue. Shut the fuck up. Yes, I know, Stephen King stuff. That fucking uppity bitch.
It's only ever your phone, though.
I fucking know. She's like, here's something that sounds like her name. I almost said it, too. I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, basically, it's going to explore themes and stuff within those worlds, so it can touch on everything, not just those ones I listed, but anything in the Stephen King universe somehow ties to Castle Rock in a way.
Because, spoiler alert, all of his books exist in the same universe, yes. Or at least in multiple universes of the same universe.
And so do his sons.
Yes.
Joe Hill's books all revolve right. In that same King universe.
Which was awesome, because in Nosferatu, it mentions the It Land or whatever it was. Pennywise Land.
Yep.
Which was...
Pennywise Circus.
Circus, which was terrifying, but hilarious at the same time.
And then he even ties his own books into it with the Treehouse of the Soul, which is from Horns.
Mm-hmm.
And then in The Fireman...
Yes.
The lake they're on leads past Maine.
Yeah.
So, and they actually go past Dairy, Maine, because they see the old dairy farms and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty funny. And they end up in Scotland, which is a weird little fucking thing. So Castle Rock, it'll be, they don't have a release date yet, but it'll be, the production starts later this year. So who knows? It's probably not going to be this year we see it.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean... 11-22-63 mm-hmm. didn't have a lot of CG stuff.
No.
Most of that was because it was set back in the day.
It was all practical stuff.
So it was all practical. It was just rewinding time,
mm-hmm.
because you had to have old cars and old outfits and in places where you can't have jetliners and stuff fly over you. Boom. That's all I got about that.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
Boom. That's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike. I am Cody, and you fuckers just came naturally in the butt.